They did put Goo Goo Dolls above Ringo on the list. That ain't cool.
Thank you.
That's not cool.
Thank
you. All right, guys, you got to not do that.
Hey, guys, welcome back to the Wet Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Brian. That's Russ. That's Lord Taco. This week, it's just going to be the three of us. We don't have a guest, but it seems to me like a perfect opportunity, a perfect time to, as Brian says in radio parlance, hit the reset button. Feels like we're, what, in February? We've got the bulk of the lineup, and we've all had weeks to talk about it. But it seems to me there's some news that we want to get to, but also it seemed like a pretty good opportunity to maybe spend a little bit of time talking about this podcast and who we are and why we do it, and especially as it relates to some of this news.
Yeah, we'll get to a couple things here, and for full disclosure, we are recording on Super Bowl Sunday morning, so we don't. Hopefully,
don't know
your
wins.
Team won. Hopefully, yeah. You won all your prop bets. But this exactly. is like a holiday for me. My whole life, I'm not even. I'm a bigger baseball fan than football, but this day has got a holiday feel to me. So I've spent the whole damn winter not getting sick. And I apologize. It's just a cold. I'm fine, but I kind of sound like crap. But good to see you guys.
Good
yeah,
to
and
see
it's a
you.
Good thing so you mentioned wanting a reset, because we're coming up on an anniversary. I don't know if you realize this. So February 16th, 2018, we released our first episode of the What Podcast. So
wow.
Yeah, coming up on a big one. That's 7 years.
February 16th, 2018. Mm-hmm. Wow. It was like 5 seconds ago.
And next month will be, and I, you know, hesitate, but COVID. So I'm glad you mentioned part of what I wanted to talk about. Well, let me go back. So we started this thing. Brad Stein and I were sitting around lunch. Must have been January or early February in 2017. And we realized all we do is talk about Bonnaroo. 2018. All we do is talk about Bonnaroo. And I think I casually said something like, we need to do a Facebook Live show while we're there. And he went, what do you mean? I said, we need to do something live. And I mean, his eyes went, pshew. And I think he went home and called you, Russ, who I didn't know you at the time.
Right.
And said, we need to do a podcast. Brad is a radio guy. So obviously he had access to studio. And he knew you could do web design. Lord Taco is tweeting and communicating online, right? That's where the taco came from.
Yeah, but that's ancient history at this point.
I know, and you did that. You didn't think it was ever going to be public, right? That
no.
was your just sort of an online handle.
Yeah.
So, and just for people who don't know, he is an actual lord.
That is correct? True. This is a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that.
Brad got me one of those established titles, the thing that we pay.
You get like a foot of land or something, isn't that what it
you
is?
Get like a square foot of land in Scotland or something. That you know.
That is cooler than
I think
people
great.
Are going to act like. That is neat. I
That's
forgot
why
yeah,
I bring
that,
it up. That's
yeah, it's
kind of
like
it
getting
up.
A star named after you or, you know, one of those things. It's pretty neat. So I do
I'm
have
pretty
papers.
Sure everybody when the Lord Taco, I mean, what I'm not going down that road right now. But anyway, that's where Taco comes from and that he is an actual lord. He is also our web designer and our producer. And as you've said many times, never in your life imagined that you would be on camera. But here you
no,
are.
No, this was not
probably,
the point. Yeah.
Probably get more fan mail and fan reaction than all of us combined.
It's also a true story.
Which I love.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Vicarious.
Yeah, well, in regardless of how it started, none of us thought it was going to last
no,
this
absolutely.
Long. Yeah.
So absolutely.
Pretty neat to look back.
Yeah, and so now it's weekly. Go figure that. And I bring a lot of that up because one of the things that we have done, I spent 37 years with the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Brian, you've been in radio, several locations locally. You've been to every Bonnaroo since the first one. I went to the first one. I've been to everyone since 2007. Russ, you've been since 2018, correct?
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, you know, Brad tapped me to help kind of set up the podcast, and I was like, oh, sounds great. I've never been to Bonnaroo.
Yeah, what do I get?
Maybe I'd like to go. What do I get out of it? And he said, I'll give you a ticket.
Fun fact real quick. This was supposed to be you, me, and Brad, Barry. The initial thought was the three of us, with me more of the role of what Taco is doing, except I have none of the expertise. And so I was working with Brad at that time for the same radio company, and it was just a convoluted time, and it didn't work, and it was fine, but I was kind of like, who the hell is this Taco guy?
Yeah,
what's this all about? Like, what's this all about?
Yeah. Like, what's a taco?
I was like, I got enough to do already right now, so I'm not really that upset, except for what's going on here. And you know, that lasted for like 5 minutes. But you know, it does feel like ancient history, a lot of it. But it's been fun, and it's been great to be on with you guys. I've only been doing this with you regularly now for a year and 2 months.
Coming right at it, right? Another anniversary.
Yeah, and we used to do it in person, like you said, because Brad had access to an actual recording studio. And, you know, if you go back and listen to some of those early episodes, they sound amazing because it sounds like a radio show. And then what it was about late 2019, early 2020, Brad moves to New Orleans. So we had to figure out how to do this show remotely instead of in person just because of the distance. And then COVID shut everything down. So
and then everybody had to learn how to do this.
Everybody had to do this. Right. Yeah.
Now everybody's got a goddamn podcast.
Yeah. Right. Well, so
and a video cast.
Just to go back a little bit, we thought, again, it was February, and we thought we'll do 3 months worth. We'll lead up to it or 4 months, and then that'll be it. And then we reached out to the folks at AC Entertainment in Knoxville, which was the co-founders along with Superfly, just because we didn't want to, you know, we didn't want to piss anybody off because they were, that's who we worked with to get in. I mean, I'm just being honest. That's who I got my credentials from for the paper, and that's who you got yours from in some way or another, right? I mean, we were all, we wanted to be upfront. And they said, we love it. You know, come on. Just, you can't use our name and you can't use our graphics, but we'll help you in any way they can. And they have. And what, probably fourth or fifth episode, Russ, we reached out to Ashley Capps, who is the AC and AC Entertainment, and said, will you come on the show? And he said, sure. And then Brad and I were like, this thing might have legs. This might be legit, you know?
It was an eye-opening moment because up until that point, the whole idea of the show was, well, let's just talk. We don't know anyone on this lineup. Let's talk about who's playing and get familiar with it. And then, switching over to Ashley Capps, actually getting a good interview with about the history and behind the scenes. I think it opened our eyes. There's a lot more to talk about here.
And they dug it.
Sorry
to sound 1960s, but I think they saw the advantage of it. They saw the value, and they were very helpful, which is, again, one of the people that whose name I just randomly got was Ken Weinstein. He's been on the show a couple of times, and I think you both have heard me say over the years, whatever you do, do not piss off Ken Weinstein, and do not get between me and Ken Weinstein.
This is kind of like a Game of Thrones episode, just a little bit. Don't mess up the power structure, buddy.
Yeah,
and that's important.
Brad Steiner, by the way, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I have said that over and over. Do not get between me and that guy. And the reason that's important, the reason I'm bringing it up is I've been honest with them from the jump, and so have you guys, and they've been honest with me. So that's a roundabout way to bring us up to date. But also the reason I bring it up is because this week there was a lot of chatter about the festival here in Chattanooga, Moon River, and what's going to happen with it. It's a lot of the same people that produce it. It's a C3 event. It's a lot of the same people. Brian, I don't know how up to date with this week you are, but I started getting an email and a text like, is it canceled for good? It's not happening again in 2025. There's a Reddit thread. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, they hit pause. I knew they hit pause. Apparently they made it sound last year like it was going to come back this year. I never thought it was.
I didn't think for a second, and that's exactly how they worded it, that it would be, you know, we'll see you again in 25.
Yeah, I think
Yeah, which we've all heard before. I think we're all a little pessimistic.
Yeah,
when,
I'm just conditioned.
Hit the pause button.
Yeah, I'm conditioned to think that way.
It's not coming back. And right. I'm glad you brought that up, because last year, remember, we did a whole episode with Tim Kelly, the mayor of Chattanooga.
Please link to that. Moon River. Mm-hmm. Glad you brought that up. And that's again, this is what we try to do rather than just us three speculate. Last year when it happened, I said, why don't we call Tim? And I texted him on mm-hmm. Saturday morning, which yeah. I can't believe, you know. And I told him, I said, I will do this one time in my life, bother you because I have your cell phone number, but will you come on our show? And he said, sure, what time, when and where? And he did, and it was great. He talked about, you know, what happened. And basically, the site got too small. Cost rose. Gasoline, diesel, semis, band, moving them from part of the country, this, all, everything. And the $13,000
capacity.
Yeah. Didn't work anymore. They need bigger. And so they had to hit the reset. So when this came out this week, everybody was like, well, I heard this and I heard that. So I went to Reddit, and the first thing I saw was somebody who said, well, yeah, it was a shit show last year. Everybody canceled the day before. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
it was completely capacity and nobody canceled. And what are you talking about? You know? Well, then, you know, people jumped on me for this, that, and the other. And so I went, as I do yesterday, and I won't name names because I didn't ask if I could, but like I try to do, is I picked up the phone and called somebody who has the answer and said, what's the deal? Or is it canceled for good or is it on pause? And he said, in my mind, it's on pause. We're still looking for a location. They want a downtown Chattanooga location where people can walk from their hotels, restaurants, all of that thing, which Coolidge Park had. And there's just not anything yet. So, you know,
the debate online here is we got this festival in 2018, Drew Holcomb and his wife Ellie, and then they paused it for 2024, and now the latest that would be on social is that they're paused again for 2025. And most people were believing what, or talking what, Barry? That I'm sorry that I didn't get in the weeds on it. That they didn't believe it at all, or that just a mixed bag of wrong information.
Mixed bag of wrong information, yeah, and that's what gets under me. I get if you don't think it's coming back, and I mean 100%. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen for it to come back, like finding a location where you can get 15,000 or more people. Near downtown Chattanooga. I mean, that's tough. So,
well, it's not that tough if you want to just throw it on the other side of the river like we used to do a festival around here. I mean, they could do that, but it wouldn't feel very unique or original.
Correct.
So I'm not sure if that's part of their plan or not. I don't believe it's coming back. That's just what I've been from the beginning, but that's just a belief. That's just me being on an online Facebook thread giving you a thought. I don't know anything. That's just what I think.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I have no problem with that, but it was, you know, the other thing was, well, it's because all the bands canceled. Well, that's just, I don't even know where that thought came from.
Yeah, we had a weather event that one of the years passed, and we've had some issues like many of these boutique festivals have had. We've talked about some of them recently. So.
Yeah, and they did have one headliner drop out late, but they got a replacement pretty quickly.
Oh, that's right. And now they canceled their whole tour.
It wasn't just the festival. It
emergency issue, yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
The other thing that people kept saying, as if they were expert in it and knew for a fact, was that the city canceled it because people could stand up on the bridges and watch for free. And that one came up like four or five different people. And somebody said, yeah, they canceled a $6 million festival because 100 people could watch for free.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, exactly.
When it first came, we have this walking bridge downtown. It's beautiful that you can see the whole downtown from beautiful views.
Gorgeous.
And that was a lot of talk, though. It was like, all you got to do is hang out on the bridge. And,
well,
and it's true, a lot of people did.
I have to take some blame for that because I, you know, as a reporter for the paper, we made that the lead. Because I had talked to somebody from the city who said, no, we're not going to allow people to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I said, come and get me. Watch
exactly.
me.
Pretty quickly, everybody realized it's literally it's a public road and you can't close it off.
Yeah. Right. Let me take a picture. You see here? Look at me. There's Drew Holcomb on the stage there, buddy. Come get me. Yeah. I mean, we were having fun with it. But
I'm surprised 6 years later, whatever, people are still thinking that's an issue. That is not why it went away. That has nothing to do with it.
Real quick, just a side caveat. I was thinking about this since I knew we were going to talk about this week, is that I'm wondering if we talk about the oversaturation of festivals, and we talk about all the different variables that come into this that you can apply to any industry. And I look at the boutique festivals like a Moon River, like a Hinterland, like a Railbird, just the ones I'm thinking of here closer to the south. These are the ones that might be the most in danger long term, because they're still very expensive and a lot of them are pretty niche. It ain't going to Bonnaroo. Right. You're not doing something that is so unique and so different than anybody else. So now you're relying on deeper pockets for niche audiences at higher and higher prices. I'm not mad about it or trying to make a point about that. No, no. That's just the truth.
No.
That makes me more concerned down the road, because I think these little boutique festivals are neat. But I think this Moon River is a perfect example of one that it's not necessarily profitable because of pricing being where it is for all the reasons that are mostly legitimate. And, man, the Moon River was a hit in this town. Yeah. A hit. I mean, at first you got your regulars who were going to say their same things about traffic and all that stuff. All right, forget them, because they're always going to be mad. Outside of that, people had a blast at this festival. Most of the organizers and all the people who would play that, and we talked to many of them because they let us in close. It's our hometown, and nothing but this is great. So
yeah,
it is a dollar and cents.
Beautifully run. The city loved it. The city bent over backwards to make that part work.
Beautiful park, too, that no one ever thought about.
First 2 years in minutes.
Minutes.
You know, the first year was hours before 24, and the next year took overnight. I remember laughing with Drew on the phone, like, what happened? Are you worried? You know, because it went overnight. It had 1 year where it didn't sell out. The 1 year where the rain got Sunday. My question, and I don't have this answer. I've tried to reach out to other people in the industry and ask, you know, because the pause thing is new. That was a new thing we heard.
Newer lingo, yeah.
Yeah, why not just postpone or cancel or whatever? But we've hit pause. And, you know, I don't know if that's coming out of COVID. But Moon River is not the only one. There were several festivals around the country that use that terminology. And so I've tried asking people, and maybe it's an ongoing question because I don't have the answer, why are they presenting it that way? You know, why would they, and they don't seem to want to go public and talk about it. You know what I mean? You don't see them going on to and doing interviews and explaining. And is it a sponsorship thing? Maybe, I mean, Brian, you're more into that sponsorship world. Is it because they don't want to just straight up say, you know, and it's not happening? Is it a city thing? I don't know.
Well, my first thought here is when just this moment talking about the pause button and the lingo that's been used so much. It became an industry term, and I do believe it was out of COVID, and I think it's just kind of a copycat thing. Like, that's what everybody's saying. But it also leaves you flexibility to say, well, we didn't say we were doing that. We didn't say anything. we didn't get definitive. That's probably what it is more than anything. And you might have just nailed it, Barry. There might be a level of, we're going to have mass exodus on our big sponsors, not just like the small stuff that they can go recreate or pick up somewhere else if someone drops off, like the bigger, whoever that might be, their beer or their soda, Coca-Cola or something like that.
Or the city itself
who is always involved in helping.
Right.
Accommodate this through tax incentives and things like that. Everything's got that component. I bet that is it. I bet that's it. It's just say pause, and that way we can say anything at this point. And
yeah, keeps them from painting themselves into a corner, I guess.
Yeah.
And the thing too with our Moon River, it's a new grass, bluegrass, Americana, probably the more accurate way of putting it, festival. Mm-hmm. also talking more to what I mentioned before of the niche audience. Boy, this is as niche as it gets. And we had everybody. Except I in my head, the only major artist from that Americana grass level of genre that we didn't get was Lumineers, Mumford and Sons, because nobody's gotten them.
Yeah.
And that's almost it. Like, almost everybody else.
Yeah, Brandi Carlile, Avitz.
Isbell. Amanda Shires. Nickel Creek. Why am I blanking? Hozier.
The Chicks.
Yeah, the Chick. We've gotten, I mean, Billy Strings was on the 2020 lineup. We even had Billy Damn Strings.
Mavis Staples.
Mavis Staples. It's been awesome. A stacked lineup, but it's kind of like, who else are you going to get?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've already gotten everybody. Like, that's you've done such a good job. I'm not sure you can keep this up. That's been kind of my thought, too, a little bit.
Well, so what I know is they're still looking for a location. You know, we've talked about there's a lot of things that are going to happen in the city. Are we getting an amphitheater? Are we not? That would be a good place for it. All that kind of stuff. But my point in bringing this up is, we try to go to the actual people who can answer the questions and not speculate. I mean, you know, I get the whole socials and I get the Reddits. Everybody knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who's heard the truth. And I couldn't, maybe I'm an idiot for going on there on Thursday.
You probably are a little bit, but I do it too. I do it every single day.
What are you talking about? That's not even close to true.
And Reddit is actually, I still think the best place though to get conversation, better than the other socials out there. That's up for anybody to make their own opinion on. But you can, and I like to contribute to these Reddit threads to give information, but sometimes they get so far off the rails you can't even do it. So I appreciate you bringing that up here. Yeah. Is that, you know, we're not a news breaking organization. We're not, but we're going to try to find out the specifics and the details. And if we don't know, we're not going to spend all that much time on it.
Right.
Because there's no reason to turn this into a Reddit thread.
And I will say I did something no one else did, which is I put my name on Aventra, the second comment. I actually
put your name on it.
Nobody else does. I mean, you know, it's so easy to just throw stuff. So,
well, the biggest thing that's annoying with Reddit that I've had trouble from the beginning is nobody has a real name on Reddit.
Correct.
Nobody. It's like, that's the thing.
It's kind of a thing, is you pick the stupidest name you can and go with that.
I've been frustrated with that from the jump. I'm like, I don't want to be on a social media with a bunch of people behind like the goofiest handles ever, but I've grown to understand it and accept it and be fine with it. But
I get it. But
at least on Facebook and Instagram, you're usually getting someone's real name. But anyway.
I interrupted you, Rush. You were about to say something.
I was just saying, this is why you should subscribe to the podcast here on YouTube or Spotify or any of these platforms, because we will, you know, we might not break the news, but we will talk to you about it. And if something happens, we'll be the first to tell you.
That's the whole thing we've done from the start. If we don't know, we're going to find the guy who does, and we're going to go ask him.
Or we're going to try our damnedest.
We're going to try, We still get stuff wrong.
I get stuff wrong all the time.
But the reason that these people talk to us is that we try to get it right, and we try not to betray trust and those types of things. So,
should we? Do we need to get right into the lineup of all lineups again, 2 years in a row?
Yes, please.
Let's Bourbon and Beyond, guys.
Is it real?
It's about a week old. We're a week old on this. Sorry, everybody. We're a week late on this, but to get into our thoughts on it. But all right, what do y'all think? Bourbon and Beyond for September once again.
They did it again.
They did it again.
They did it again.
That's as simple as answer as you can put. It is stacked top to bottom once again. I do want to say this, though. We had this information out there before Festival did, by the way, everybody.
Yes,
while we're talking about first and stuff. I had some Louisville on the ground people. Wait, yeah, Louisville, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Or Lexington, sorry. I'm so smart, I don't even know what city it's in. But, man, once again, it starts from the top, and it goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And
I don't know how they have the, speaking of Lumineers, there they are on the top line with Fish and Jack White and Sturgill Simpson and Benson Boone, who I didn't even know his name until the Grammys the other day. I knew the song. Alabama Shakes back together. Everybody's really excited about Cage. I mean, I mean, which is the, one of the hottest acts in the country. It's, and that's just the first two lines. We don't need to read the whole thing off, but wow, what a festival.
Well, I mean, when you guys
lineup,
sent this to
what
me,
a festival lineup.
Mm-hmm. When you sent it to me, I went immediately. I started at the bottom for some reason and saw NRBQ again talking about Back Together. And I think I texted you guys, and I, because I like Foreigner and Blues Traveler, and I said, I, this looks like the bands I thought had retired festival.
Tour. Certainly has some of that.
And then I didn't even see it. Fifth line down, Ringo Starr and his All-Stars. Are you kidding me? How is that not top line? But, you know, maybe not in your world, but anytime you got a Beatle.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. And that just, I mean, I don't think that's, well, they did put Goo Goo Dolls above Ringo on the list. That ain't cool.
Thank you.
That's not cool.
Thank
you. All right, guys, you got to not do that.
Lake Street Dive is before Ringo.
So is Third Eye Blind. I didn't even know Third Eye Blind was on this until I just re-looked at it.
That's what I'm saying. It's the bands I thought had quit tour.
10,000 Maniacs is on here.
Yep. I know. Yep. I know we were talking
about. Oh, my God, I just saw that.
We were talking about Peter Buck last week. The Baseball Project is on here. That's Mike Mills' side band. And that's all the way at the bottom.
I love the Water Boys. Squirrel Nut Zippers, that's another one.
My girl.
When's the last time you heard anything from Squirrel Nut Zippers?
I know.
Exactly.
One of my loves of my life of the in the music world the last 10 years, Jade Bird. All the way down at the bottom.
Yeah.
Blind Melon. I don't even know who's singing for them anymore, but that is the original band.
Leftover Salmon, again.
Other than Shannon, obviously, and so that's at least worth seeing.
Wow.
It just keeps going and going, and the amount of the quantity here is wild. The quality is, I think, like, Barry, you're right. I mean, a lot of this is just quantity filler, not necessarily quality, but it's so much.
Yeah.
There's just so much that the law of averages, the math just means there's probably going to be enough here for almost anybody if you're just looking at numbers. I mean, you're just looking at specifics like names on paper.
Yeah, Pat Benatar and her husband, Neil Giraldo, right? They're still married, right?
I guess. I hope so, for the sake of the show.
The Pixies.
Pixies are on there.
It's just one that you just keep looking at, and it just keeps something just Guster, you know? Guster's on there. Trampled by Turtles. Collective Soul is on there. Joe Bonamassa, the Pixies, and it's half the Pixies, but it's still the Pixies. So, will we make that trip? We said last year, or I did, that I for sure would. I don't know. We'll see.
I like
we see every year we're
going to
go.
Mostly because of Ringo. NRBQ, I mean, there's enough to get me up there. For sure.
We'll have to see if some accommodation folks from around
to make that work
help us out a little bit on that one. But
speaking of, and I meant to do this earlier. I mean, are we done with this?
Sure.
I got my book.
Oh, the yearbook.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks, Caleb. With the got the nice note.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's really
That's
cool.
very cool. Yeah, we had Caleb on a few weeks ago pushing the book, and he is selling them. It is a pitch, but it is a pretty cool pitch. It was a pretty cool idea. When I first heard about it, I was like, I don't know about this one. Good luck, buddy.
Nah, 50% off if you go through our website, right, or include the What
Use
Podcast.
The code. The code is the What Podcast, all one word. And you go to BonnerieYearbook.com and check out there, place your order, and use the code the What Podcast, 50% off.
And I can say it's a lot of fun. I've spent a lot of time with it, and I'm still not through. It's huge. He really went all out with this thing. It's very cool.
And so we're still taking anything you want to send in contest-wise for the so we've got the and we'll be wrapping this up. I don't know. We can kind of make up our mind on this, guys, however we want. So, I mean, wait at your own peril. But we've got the tickets, and then we'll have the yearbook, and then we'll have a David Bruce I Am Bonnaroo print as well that we will be sending out. So we'll probably wrap that up in the next, I don't know, few weeks to a month-ish or less. Well, I don't know, whenever. Or tomorrow. I don't know. Yeah. Whenever we feel like it.
What is it Brad used to make Brad Steiner so mad about these radio contests? Register for the everything. Chance to win or something. He used to just send him over the...
the semantics. Yeah.
Anyway, go to the website. That's as you can win two tickets to Bonnaroo plus camping or a David Bruce print or a copy of the Bonnaroo yearbook, which I can attest is awesome.
So speaking of back to Bonnaroo itself, have you guys done it? I think you guys might be doing something similar to me as far as an approach here. I have yet to even begin my Bonnaroo dive. Have you guys, like, the deep diving into the festival, have you guys done this yet?
I've just gone as far as King Gizzard. I mean, I'm still diving in on there.
Well, might take you 6 months.
Yeah, that's taken all of my time. That's pretty much what I've gotten into. Haven't really listened to much else, but I am super excited about this King Gizzard thing.
Well, I have not done my dive yet, and I've done it on purpose because I am not a I can't wait guy. I can wait. I can always wait. June will be here quickly, and I don't need to rush any of this stuff, and I don't want to get tired of some of it either. So I'm thinking probably by the time March rolls, I will start my dive. And now it's so much easier with Spotify. But
yeah,
guys, I remember I'm going back to the days of 10, 15 years ago where I would have to purchase the CDs and have them sent to start my run. Mm-hmm. And I love doing that because I love old media. I'm still looking forward to I've got my list started and everything, but I have not yet done it. And it's because we got plenty of time.
I have not done the deep dive because we don't have all the schedules yet.
You don't want to spend too much time on something you won't be at or something like
Maybe? That and, maybe one of these smaller stages is going to trump. I mean, that's an excuse, but it's partly true. I have listened, I think I told you a couple weeks ago, Dom Dalla. I know
David.
Joel. Balance and Bray.
Sorry.
One of our listeners said I need to check it out because it's kind of like EDM Beastie Boys, and obviously that triggered, and that is 100% correct.
Well, that's what EDM you were talking Beastie about Boys, in the pre-show meeting. That's right.
Gen Z Beastie Boys.
Gen Z Beastie Boys.
Kids.
Okay.
I mean, they're young.
Yeah, I was referring to our soundstage, David, who said on our lineup day live show. Was like my Aussie brother Dom Dalla.
Dom Dalla, sure. Yeah.
I was like, all right,
it's good stuff.
I got to give that guy or that group or whatever Dom Dalla is. I got to give that a look and listen. So
I have been, randomly going through Spotify and trying to listen to some stuff, but not like the deep stuff. And part of that is too, I want to have our we keep bringing him up, Brad Steiner. I'd like to have him back on. Brad is a radio programmer guy out of New York and always has some insights. As Brian 100% accurately says, Brad's a dick and he pisses us off, but he typically has at least one or two spot on, don't sleep on this band tips. And I want to have him on to share some of that with us.
Yeah, Brad's a salty character, and so are we all at some point in some way. I look forward to having Brad on, too. He'll make fun of me for 20 minutes of the show. Come on, Brad. You got anything new over there, buddy? It's been about 20 years now. Come on.
Right.
You're the smart guy. You're the funny guy on the radio. Come up with something new, dude. Yeah. But he is, in programming, he does it on air, too, across the country, but Sorry, that on-air work you do, Brad, is awful. I've sat there in his house listening to him do it in New York. It's horrible. What they're doing on a national basis to drop in, he's doing Seattle and Miami and Detroit all in the same day, all in the same hour, and it's annoying. Sorry to go too far into the weeds on the industry stuff.
No, but we used to always tease he did weather and sports updates, and then he would say, no, I do fart jokes. That's what I do for a living is fart
it's
jokes.
Now, well, see, he was so lucky to be able to do that then. Now it's just, hey, Seattle, music, go. It's really, it's so generically bad. But the programming that he does and the people that he works with in Odyssey, New York, I mean, one of the biggest radio companies in the world, is all the programming is scientifically done stuff.
Yeah.
And he knows music and what's trending and what's working better than anybody I know. And when he says something to me about an artist, their trajectory, where they've been, where they're going, he's just about right every time.
Yeah.
And it takes every bit of me to sit here and say that. But it's so factual, he deserves the credit for that. So I would love to have him on and talk about it.
Look forward to having him on. What was the other news? What else did we want to get? We want to talk about our contest here a little bit more.
We'll get to those. I've got some entries queued up we can listen to a little bit later.
Yeah, we've been just kind of half-assed throwing out questions, you know, to have fun with.
You mentioned old media, and I don't know if you looked at it, but it's still a few months away. The Record Store Day release
I'm glad you brought that up.
Came out. And did you look down that? Because there's a lot of stuff on there.
I have one in particular, though, but go with some of the things you saw that jumped off the page, Taco.
Oh, gosh. I was hoping you had looked at it so I wouldn't have to try to remember.
Well, while you do that, I'll tell you the one that jumped off the page.
Go for it.
That absolutely I have to have, because this year I had yet to see one release for Record Store Day that I almost every year, not every single year of my life, but most times I grab at least one release on RSD Day.
Me too.
And this year it's a little earlier. Just mark your calendars. It's usually closer to the 20th. It's on the 12th this year. And Post Malone, who I would have never had a good word or even just any word, I'd just be neutral to almost maybe closer to negative on Post Malone for right or wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Until the Bonnaroo show last year, where that what stage was as explosive, like literally, sorry to use a word I hate, it was exploding. It was like some of the best pyrotechnics and stage production I have seen. I couldn't leave the Post Malone show. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So when I heard he had an RSD release, I had to take a look at it. And it's his COVID sessions of his Nirvana. Mm-hmm. Electric, just plain, not like changed up versions. Just, hey, because we're bored, we're all going to connect on three different Zoom calls. And we're going to play Nirvana songs just like they're written. Here we go. Bow down. And it's pretty good. And they're releasing that on a colored vinyl in an RSD release, and I have to have it for my Nirvana 90s love and because of my newfound appreciation for Post Malone. So that is my this year's RSD
there
have
you
to
go.
Have.
Yeah, one that jumps out at me is this Rainbow Kitten Surprise RKS 10th Anniversary album. That's one of my favorite albums, and I have the original on vinyl, so picking up the 10th anniversary, it looks pretty cool.
See, there's a lot of different approaches to Record Store Day. There's re-releases, mm-hmm. there's just mm-hmm. colored vinyl-only releases, and then there's specific only to that day releases. I tend to gravitate to the specifically released for only those day releases because I think it gives me a sense of scarcity a little bit. Sure. That might not be mm-hmm. real, but that's what I feel. In my head, when I purchase, like, oh, there's only 2,000 of the 20,000 or 200. It doesn't really mean anything, but a lot of different approaches you can take to Record Store Day.
Well, and you know, all these releases, not every record store is going to get every single one. You know, our record store in town might just get a handful of these. So you sometimes you never really know. I think you might be able to, you know, kind of call them ahead of time and see if what they're going to get and if they can get it. But otherwise, it's kind of the luck of the draw. So it's good to have a few in mind just in case the one you really want isn't there.
It's taken a long time, but that little niche idea every year has really worked for the industry. Yeah. But it's also, boy, I mean, we know the owners here of record stores, and we, you can talk to them. It's a dangerous game to buy up a bunch of inventory, you know, in anything in you know, our economy these days that involves retail and inventory. It's such a way to back yourself up or a way to have a big, big, big day. And then if you run out, you piss people off, they don't come back. Like that's a, yeah, that's a recipe I do not want to have any involvement in. Just sounds.
Yeah.
That's why we're not business people.
I know.
That's why there's no more Quarter Records.
That's right. Quarter Brothers Records. That's exactly right.
That's why we're broke.
Yeah. Thank God for Chad. That's
also true.
Speaking of, I wanted to go back. When I was going back talking about our history and everything, I meant to say, and we've talked about this before, if you go to thewhatpodcast.com, Russ has done a beautiful job of organizing everything. You can go to our guests and or topics, and you can see the old shows. I have to confess, I'm surprised people don't go back and listen more, like to Ashley Capps or any of the others. To me, the episodes are pretty evergreen. I mean, we talk, you know, we the artists that we've had were playing that year's Bonnaroo, but it's not like the topics were specific to that year's Bonnaroo. Like if you're into Devin Gafilian or who, I'm just going through the list. You know,
well, you guys had Noah Kahan on, for crying out loud.
Noah Kahan,
we did. Yeah, Noah Kahan.
Before blew up, Grace Potter. That was a great interview. They're all Jim James, my favorite interview. You know, that again, that he talked about that 2004 In the Rain show that was so epic that they released a live record for.
Yeah, that was a Record Store Day release too, if I remember
right. I'm pretty sure that was his only interview, right, Russ? I never saw it anywhere else. And he talked about standing on stage in the rain and having, you know, sort of mental health issues.
He kind of looked like he was coming out of a Bob Ross painting.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
He kind of had this like glow around him coming out of like this Sleepy Hollow scene or something. It was
Belgium
really cool.
He dialed in from a hotel in Belgium. I guess they were on
tour. Is that what it was?
Yeah, and it looked like he was doing it from his closet.
Yeah.
It was just like he's in a void of just blackness
all
around.
It looked like
it was so
done
strange.
By design.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Look exactly like this.
But, I mean, you remember him saying, you know, he was barefoot, standing on a wet stage, thinking, if I die right now, it's okay. And
This is where it's going to be.
So, die happy.
Anyway, obviously I'm hyping our list, but I just, if you're
looking. Well, I started the list because, for me, mostly because I couldn't keep up. You know, we had trouble remembering who we had on and when. And, oh, I think that we had them on in 2017. No, it was 2018. And so, just for me, but it's good to have it online just to kind of go back and pick up all that stuff.
You're nothing if not completely organized,
yes.
Taco.
Thank God.
If you do want to find all that, it is there. Yeah, as opposed to me and Barry, me the worst. I am the worst.
Yeah.
I keep things, you know, a little notepad going, but outside of that, I'm pretty scattered.
We got go on 7-8 years of shows. They all do kind of run together, just like Bonnaroo's. It's like hard to remember, keep track of. So it is good to have an organized, searchable, you know, way of actually finding past content. So I hope people do go back and listen, because you're right. Well, there's a ton of stuff on there. We had Ed O'Brien from Radiohead.
Ed O'Brien, Radiohead.
I remember
Treaty,
that one because he...
Churches.
Yeah. Well, Ed O'Brien, remember he did that one from his, I guess, castle where he lives out in England?
Yes.
That's
and there were these giant windows, like, behind him. And he had no lighting in the front. You couldn't even tell it was Ed O'Brien, but we promise it is. He just looked like this dark, shadowy figure. And
I forgot about that. Yeah, he looked like he was staging that strategically.
And how are you
going
to tell Ed O'Brien,
hey, can you fix your lighting over there, buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever done this? Are you new here? Are you new to this?
Exactly. Can you stop and fix this? Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. But
pretty
it was a great interview.
Stuff, so I hope people will go back. And like I said, they're not, I don't think they're dated. You know, there might be, you know, what are you going to do for this Bonnaroo or whatever? But even that's fun to listen to. So.
Well, I think it's the, a little bit of the Pacific Ocean of content availability that we and the just old the technological advances have made old bad, new good. Old phone bad, new phone good. Sure. Old computer bad, new phone good. Old show bad, new show good. Like, it just seems to just recycle. It's just this mindset that technology's gotten young to all ages into just thinking, rather than enjoying and reflecting on things that were past, it's all about what's new, what's next, what's right. new, what's new. And I think that's a damn shame that we're not paying more attention. And I'm going a little bit sideways here, sorry. Oh, but on sorry. Things that were more past and being very happy with those reflections and then, you know, going from there and reshaping the discussion. But it does feel like to me technology is just deemed old bad, new good, let's go. That's unfortunate. And I guess I'll leave it at that.
I don't
that.
Know. It is, and it's just the way it is. People will click on, you know, the new episode, they'll check it out, and then they'll move on. And you're right, there's a ton of choices of what to watch, what to listen to. That, yeah.
It's only 24 hours in a day, man. They run out quick.
That's right.
I get it.
They run out really quick.
I get it. Maybe we need to look through, Russ. I don't know how many acts are on this year's lineup that we've had before. Krungbin, I know.
There's
Bourbon
a few.
But Krungbin, that was another one of my favorite interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just so many, and, you know.
Mount Joy, I think, is on the Battery lineup this year. We interviewed them, back in 2019?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I've 2020? Been on the on the Mount Joy bandwagon early. That's one I got early. I love that band. Love them.
And just, you know, the Paul Janoway, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, one of our early ones, still one of my favorites. It was so good, we made two episodes out of it, and it still makes me laugh. So, anyway.
Yeah, he's a fun guy.
Yeah, that was great.
And he is as friendly as it gets, too. That guy will, he'll give you all the time, shirt off his back. He'll, you know, let you borrow a dollar. I mean, this guy's a good dude.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry to jump backwards there. What else? What else are we forgetting? We need to talk about the contest and play some of those.
We'll roll a couple entries and maybe kick around this question for a minute and then get ready for a bunch of junk food and a crappy football game here.
So the question last week was, name an artist that you didn't think or wasn't even on your radar, but you left the festival with a new favorite.
Yeah. And so and for last year, that's everybody's answer is most people's answer is Chapel. And that's certainly mine.
And I don't know if we got a bunch of answers for that, Russ, but you got some other answers from previous questions, which was, I've already
show revisiting
previous
a show
was if there was one show, what's one show you attended that you wish you could do over?
Let me answer this real quick. So, and quickly, when we brought this up in the last couple of weeks, I just said my first thing for some reason was Neil Young 03. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know why I thought of that other than it was I saw the show, but it didn't go as well. It was my first time I was on the farm for the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. So I was very young. So there was a lot I would do differently.
Right.
But let's get right down to I'm burying the major lead here. It's Pearl Jam 2016 when I go to meet the girl who stiffs me out in the middle of the field while all of you, or whoever, but Taco, you weren't there yet, were in the pit up front, like five rows out equivalency, and I'm standing around being left alone, standing around waiting on the... She did show up for a minute, stayed for one song, and left. The story's longer than that. I won't bore you anymore. There was a weather alert that night. We had to shelter for a minute. Everything got moved for about 30 minutes or so. So there's a little bit of chaos amongst that. That didn't last too long. Everything returned to normal. And I'm sitting out there standing around holding the rope. Barry, remember your comment from the story of the Woodstock story. Brian holding a rope with no friends. Yeah, that's what it was. And then here comes everybody, Brad and Hillary and Camp Nutbutter people, like looking at me, and I look like I was defeated, like I just had lost the Super Bowl. I was just staring. The show's over. There's fireworks shooting off Saturday night, and what's wrong? I'm like, I just ruined my whole life.
Was that the day you spent all day in the car listening to getting pregame?
No, that was years before. That was years before. That was years before. This was just about a girl. She was pretty, and she was a nice enough girl, but not that nice because ditched me. She ditched me.
Yeah.
And all my friends, half of them which don't barely care about the band Pearl Jam, are all having a big time. And then the next week, because social media wasn't moving as fast then, it's still fast, but not as fast as now, I started seeing their pictures like 4 or 5 days later, and I had a whole new rage that came back, and I started texting and commenting, and I even got mad at the girl, and it's like, I can't believe what you did to me.
Right.
So there you go, and that's my bad, not hers.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to redo that show again.
That's funny.
And I would be in the pit. So what do we got for this week to screw around with from some of the listeners?
Yeah, speaking of shows to redo, well, let's do this. Let's take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and we'll play some of these voicemails and stuff. And we got a fax.
There you go.
All right. You ready to get into some of these?
Yeah.
All right.
Hope you patron all our sponsors, Intuit or whatever it is, tax returns. Sorry, I didn't mind that.
Yeah. So we get a fax. This is from Bosco off of our Discord, I think this is the third fax he sent now. He keeps saying he has to keep the bit going, which I respect. So
I do too.
He says he's got two different answers, and he's embarrassed about both of them. He says,
we all
Lord
should
Huron,
be.
Yeah. Lord Huron playing on the Witch stage in 2022. I feel like all my friends have been talking about them for a long time. I'd never got around to listening to their Bonnaroo set and was blown away. And I think that's a pretty good point, because when we talk about doing this deep dive, sometimes I don't want to do a deep dive on everything. I do want to genuinely be surprised.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, when you come across a band, you're like, holy shit, this is good.
Yeah.
And just have no prior knowledge.
Yeah. I think there's a fine line on that, to do too much and not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And he says
that
the second artist is Wolfpack from 2023. I was sort of familiar with them.
People were so excited for that one.
Yeah. He said, their stage presence just elevates it to another level and made him a fan for life. They even stopped in the middle of the show and had a full wedding on stage. Did you guys know that? I didn't know that.
Mm-mm.
There was a full wedding at the Wolfpack show. He says it's on their YouTube page. So.
All right. Well, I know they have plenty of them over in the house of Matrimoon at
Moon. Matrimoon,
however they say it, yeah. No, I did not know that, but I do remember that Wolfpack, whatever their name is, that they were, that was a hot act that year.
Yes, it was. Yeah. 23. I'm wearing my Bonnaroo 2023 shirt right now. So,
what else we got?
Well, let's see. This one. Let's go with this one. We'll go with Ronnie.
Hey, what podcast? This is Ronnie Robinson. I'm just calling in entering this contest. One of the shows I know I wish I could go back to is the White Stripes show on the Witch stage. I was just
2007
wore out from that Bonnaroo. It was 2007, I do believe, and I just didn't have the energy to push through all that dust and all that crowd
to get up
to the front. I wish I could have gotten a little bit closer, because it was hard hearing it from way in the back with this crowd as that stage was that year. And then also most recently, I wish I could go back to that Odessa show. I have a lot of love for my Morning Jacket. I knew it was going to be a 3-hour or longer set, so I made sure to get in a good spot to get into the pit and everything, and I missed pretty much all of Odessa's show. And going back, I went and saw Odessa later on the tour, and I very much regretted doing that, because that production looked amazing, and it would have been great to see out there in the field. But other than that, for 11 years of going to Bonnaroo so far, made it to most of the shows I've really wanted to make it to, which I feel pretty lucky in that. I like to study the lineup and go through everything and make sure I find out exactly what it is I like and what I want to be around. My biggest mistake also, I guess, would be my very first Bonnaroo 2006. I missed most of Tom Petty's set, so I saw the first beginning part and then walked away, because I was mainly there for Radiohead that year as my first Bonnaroo, and I really wasn't understanding to seize every opportunity to see what's out there, because you might not get to see it again. And missing Tom Petty when Stevie Nicks came out, that was very disappointing as well. I wish I could go back to that.
But it is what it is. It looks like a very beautiful Bonnaroo this year. I love the lineup. I have something to do every single day this year with multiple acts to see. It's great. I'm loving it. As a vet, this has brought a lot of excitement to my heart. So I will see you all out there at Bonnaroo this year. Much love.
Thank you, man. Yeah, he is all. He is very much correct to be upset about missing that 07 White Stripes show. I went to that because I wasn't a big Stripes fan then, or really not in either now. I love Jack White, but not as much his band. And after I saw that, I was like, okay, I saw it. I needed that. That one, that was great. And our local radio guy, Jeff Styles, is who drugged me off to that one. I would not have done that on my own.
Yeah.
And so I am indebted to him for that one. So that was awesome. And then that 06 Tom Petty show, that was a little different. I think, didn't he make it three times? I think he came two more times. No, I know one more, but I think two more.
I know at least one, because that was my miss. That was the one I was going to stay the Sunday night. And
yeah, I skipped one of those.
Called me like 3 o'clock and said, I got us pit passes, because she was working with the festival. And she said, I got us in. And I said, cool. And then I sat down in a chair and
got comfortable.
Her 20 minutes later and said, I am going.
Well,
home.
Those next two, I felt like they were oversaturating the Petty thing. Yeah. Like, I don't need Petty over and over again.
Pass, but
I'm a big Tom Petty, huge Tom Petty guy.
Yep, love, love, love.
That 06 show was the most authentic and real show that he did on the farm. And there was no mention of Stevie Nicks being there. Zero. Or at least I didn't know. I mean, and I think I probably should have. I work for a classic rock and roll radio station, 100,000 watts that reached that far. I should have known that. And so that was a huge surprise to everybody. That was also the first year they started to play around with not doing jam. So that's Radiohead, Tom Petty.
Right,
they didn't have classic rock artists. They didn't have legacy acts before that. It was the legacy act was Bob Weir or Phil Lesh or Mickey Hart or whatever variation of the day.
Whoever Warren Haynes was playing with.
Whoever Warren Haynes was with that week, Stuart Copeland from The Police or something. And so that was a transitional year, which to me made it that much better because it blended what I love the most, jam at the time, and just good old-fashioned not jam, good rock and roll and classic rock. And that was a really transitional year. So those are two great examples of early days of Bonnaroo. So thank you for sending those in.
Yeah, good call. All right.
So I'm thinking this question. Oh, go ahead, Russ.
Oh, I had some more, but if you want to.
No, go ahead.
Let's do one more.
This week's question.
Let's do it.
Okay, this is Caroline from East Nasty.
East Nash, my favorite place.
Hey, this is Caroline from East Nashville. So I'm a little behind. I have been traveling the past week, and so I'm just catching up on the podcast. And the question from last week was just so good that I felt like it was important to call in and give my answer, because I, like Barry, also wish that I could have experienced Beastie Boys different. I did not know. I mean, you know, I don't know exactly what was happening, or I don't really remember, but I remember just kind of like chilling and just kind of taking it in pretty passively. I think it had been like a long day or whatnot. I also think at one point I like dipped out to get food for a while. And obviously in retrospect, I just wish that I had fully absorbed that show. Yeah, it's just crazy to think about what he was going through at that time and then what would happen quickly after. So definitely one of mine. But a big one for me and kind of like actually had a big impact on how I live in life now is in 2015, I was at Bonnaroo and I had to travel for work. And so I actually left Bonnaroo on the day that D'Angelo was playing, like a couple hours before, so I could get on a plane and go travel for work. And I am just beside myself 10 years later that I missed D'Angelo. I missed him playing Black Messiah. The Vanguard is just such an incredible band. He's great. And I really beat myself up for it still. I also missed him in 2012 when he came out and did the Super Jam with Questlove. He's obviously just not someone who plays very often. So I still just kind of beat myself up over that. So it's not that I like wish I had experienced it differently. I wish I had experienced it at all. Because I, went with the work thing instead. And, you know, honestly, that trip and that choice is kind of formed that, you know, I gotta work will always be there. Bonnaroo and these experiences and things like that won't always. So I always try to now power through, really clear my schedule, power through if I'm tired, power through if I, all of these things to really see these artists that I want to see. And I just hope one day I will get to see D'Angelo again and would absolutely love it if it was on the farm. Thanks so much, y'all.
Yeah, great call.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a certain level of you do have to, I think I could tell in the tone of her voice, she does understand this, but you're going to, these disappointments are just part of it.
Yeah.
They're just built in. They're going to happen. I could give you way more lists of them if I wanted to. I wrote down while our last caller called, and he was talking about missing a show because he couldn't leave another one. When Buffalo Springfield played with the reunion with Richie Furay, Stephen Stills, Neil Young, and whoever else part of the band, I was stuck over at the Witch. I couldn't leave because of my guy Neil, and Black Keys were playing about to start, and everybody's heading over to the What, you know, my favorite stage in the world to see a great rock band, and I can't leave. I'm right here for Neil. They play like three more songs, and by that time, I miss all the Black Keys, and to this day, that was 2011. This day, I've still never seen Black Keys because I missed that show.
Right.
So because of that. But that was a decision I had to make.
Yeah.
You're going to miss something. Which one are you going to miss?
Yeah, can't see them all.
I appreciate her call. That Beastie Boys, I saw it all. I just was like, you know, and I took it in. But it was the opposite of that is the 2008 My Morning Jacket, which was my second full year there. I didn't know who they were. But, I mean, it was 3 hours. I think I saw half of it and felt really good about that, you know, maybe even a little more than
Which
half.
Stage were they on that year?
Which? In the Rain.
Because they were on the What in the 10.
Yeah.
2010, they had moved up to the What on, like, an evening set. That's one of my favorite My Morning Jacket shows was 2 years later.
But, I mean, I've said this. That was the show that I fell in love with Bonnaroo. I came home and I listened, but to nothing but My Morning Jacket for 2 years. And I'm talking about repeat. I would listen to it, and then I would hit repeat and listen to it again. Fell in love with that band, because to me, they were the perfect... We talked about this.
They're the perfect Bonnaroo
band.
They
are the perfect Bonnaroo, and you could, when you hear it, you can smell the farm, you can feel that tree right there in front of the Witch, you know,
because they
exactly
have so many legendary moments over the course of the whole time, and I give them a hard time, you know, that most of half of that's in jest, and it's anecdotally boring to go into. My Morning Jacket's a very good band.
I get it.
It's just it is kind of one of those, seen them enough guys, but they're like Panic from Widespread Panic. Y'all are invited anytime.
Yeah.
Like, if any point y'all want to come play, if we're here, you're invited.
Yeah.
Doors
and
always
I think
open.
I don't know that that's true, but it feels like it is. It was with Greg Allman and Allman before he died. Y'all want to play?
Absolutely.
Come on in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I like that.
And, right, of course, you never know when it might be the last time you see somebody. Like, that Beastie Boys show was the last one ever.
Well, we mentioned a lot of dead people here.
John
Greg Allman, Tom Petty.
John Prine, Tom Petty.
I was trying to think of a way to ask this question, that some of those acts, like, and I don't know that it's a question, but maybe it's just a topic. The people that you've seen because it was Bonnaroo and they have 100 acts that you never thought you would see, Alan Toussaint, Elvis Costello comes to my mind, Larry Graham.
It was an act that you had to see because you would never have expected them to be at Bonnaroo,
or,
and you're at your
no,
spot.
Like the next day you wake up or a week later or a year later, you think, oh, my God, I saw that guy. I didn't know who he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be maybe a John Prine for me.
Prine. Well, I knew then, but yes.
I only knew the name. Yeah.
You know, Larry Graham was with the Super Jam with John Oates. And Billy Idol, that one. Larry Graham, for people who don't know, basically invented the slap bass. I mean, he's the guy, you know. That's kind of what I mean. It's like, oh, my God, you know.
Yeah, you don't quite get it in the moment kind of thing.
Don't get it in the moment. And that's, right, that's yeah. kind of part of my wish I could go back it. Kind of
yeah.
thing. Now, the question this week, in honor of Brad Steiner, I guess, if you're going with someone, maybe it's their first time, who is the act that you are going to take them by the hand? You know, we've talked about on here, everybody go do your own thing. Don't have to be in a group. Don't try to be in a group.
If that's
you
my mantra.
Go see your act, go see your act. But there's usually one, you know, oh, that you're yeah. like, all right, Russ, Brian, you got to go with me to
and
this
one. I got
to
walk you through.
Meet up and go to this one. Yeah.
I got
to
yeah. walk you through this one. I got to set it up. I got to yeah. set it up. I got to set the scene.
Yeah. Who's that?
We become the annoying guy when we do that. But if we're doing it with the right person, they understand why we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, there's some trust. So who is that act this year that you're,
good question.
You're
yeah.
going to, you know, come on, guys, we got to go.
All right, yeah, I'd have to do some little my look at it and do some thinking. I'll get back to you in a week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't have a name. I just thought of the question, but I don't have a name. So we'll see.
All right, one more and then we can get out of here. Is that sound
awesome?
Good?
Do it.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, this is Kiefer.
What's up, What Podcast? My name is Kiefer Vance. I'm from Des Moines, Iowa. This roux will be my fifth roux. I'm going to answer the question from last week's episode. I don't know if I missed this prompt period, but it was, what show would you like to redo at Bonnaroo? And I have two answers from the same year, 2019. Lonely Island, I grew up on that, on the Andy Samberg, and I was like 12 or 13 during like the Lonely Island prime, so to say. And I would have to like sneak off and like watch it very quietly on my phone, because if my mom heard, I would have gotten in trouble for sure. But yeah, so I was with people who I don't think understood exactly what they were about to see, and weren't as enthusiastic for The Lonely Island as maybe I was. But I still got to enjoy the show. Just maybe if I was with some people, cared a little more, could have got a better spot. And then the second is Brockhampton from that same year. I spent 2 hours on like the witch stage rail out in the field, and what I could have done during those 2 hours, but I didn't understand how it worked at the time, was wait in the pit line to go and see the show from the pit. But, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, those are the two I would definitely want to go back and relive, I guess, and try again. But you know what? It is what it is. Side note, I have managed to get on the RuBus podcast and the RuHam podcast. So if you guys get me in the show, that would complete the trifecta, collected all the Infinity
I love it.
Ru podcast gemstones, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, it'd be really cool. It'd be like a dream come true. So yeah, peace out. Happy Ru.
He's hitting the circuit.
I love yeah. it. His bingo card's full.
Yeah, and I got to say, man, with a name like Kiefer Vance, man, nice. You're going places, dude. That's a good name.
That's a strong name.
That's a it good is. Name. I don't know what it's going to get you in life, but if you work it right, it's going to get you something, Kiefer Vance. That's a great name, man. Good call, too. Thanks for
welcome thanks to for the What Podcast. That's funny. That's
yeah.
Good answer.
All right, so... yeah, you got a task now. We want you to go to whatpodcast.com and click on win tickets and then enter. I answer the question that Barry just asked about.
Or any question. You ramble about whatever. It's worth, if it's worth doing, we'll throw you on. We're having fun, you know.
We just have the answers. We'll figure out.
Yeah, you can call. Like, these are voicemails. You can call and leave us a voicemail. You can send us an email. You can
stupid pet tricks. Bounce around with a bowl on your head. You know, whatever you got.
We'll put it on the show maybe. Or you could, and just record a video or send us a TikTok, whatever. So
I love it.
Trying to get a few more contest entries here before we
we'll be wrapping it up soon enough. And that's the secret. We're not going to tell you when we're going to do it because we don't know.
We don't know.
It's a secret because we haven't figured it out yet.
All right, secret we've got some us. More guests coming up in the coming weeks. I'm excited about all of them. Guys, this was fun.
Yeah.
We got to catch up. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Please hit that like and subscribe and do all that other stuff that we ask you to do. It means a lot to us.
Yeah,
and it's starting to
Review. We haven't, you know, asked for that in a while, but go on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. Leave us 5 stars if you like us that much. Leave a little review. You know that.
Say the show sucks. I don't care. Say anything.
Yeah, give us your honest opinion. So.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. We'll talk to y'all next week. See you later.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreestyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreestyleLibre.us.